We're doing Jewish history. We're up to the year 3112. The king at this time is Amatziah. And we said Amatziah is the brother of the prophet Amoz, the father of Yeshaya, Isaiah. Amatziah goes to war against Edom. We had seen that a few decades earlier, Edom had suddenly started coming back to power. They'd been down since the days of David, and this was because of the immoral activities of Israel. So Hashem had allowed Edom to start rearing its head. So Amatziah goes to war, and he and his soldiers kill 10,000 soldiers from Edom. His son Uzziah is going to take the throne at the end of his lifetime. He is also called Azariah in Tanakh. Sometimes he's called Uzziah and sometimes Azariah. In the middle of his reign, he decided he's going to take Ktores into the Holy of Holies. And then when he did that, so Chazal tell us that the whole Beit HaMikdash shook. There was a massive earthquake or some kind of volcanic activity, and the whole Beit HaMikdash shook. And as the Beit HaMikdash shook, the Kohanim told him, get out quickly. And by the time he got out, Tzaras had shone on his forehead, and the rest of his life he had Tzaras. So he spent the last 25 years of his life in seclusion with Tzaras. No, Chazal say not because of Lashon Hara, but Tzaras can come because of lies. Tzaras can come because of arrogance. Uzziah was going into the Holy of Holies when he had no right. He was a king, but he wasn't a Kohen. Chazal say that when a person has holiness that he cannot, that he is not worthy of, so then Tzaras comes out. That's what happened with Miriam. That Hashem spoke to her when she wasn't prepared. She had been intimate with her husband the night before, and she had not yet gone to mikvah. And when Hashem spoke to her, so Tzaras broke out because she wasn't ready for that level of holiness. So Tzaras is also a reaction to incongruous activity. When you have internally, the person is not on the spiritual level. Externally, the person does things that are on the spiritual level, like Uzziah going into the Holy of Holies, like Miriam getting prophecy, when inside she wasn't prepared. So then that contradiction can cause a person to break down in Tzaras. So at this juncture, Kohen Gadol is Yoel. We have the prophets Hosea, Yeshaya, Amos, Uzziah, and Micha Morashti. So that's the overlap we had discussed. Our sages say that Uzziah is buried right near Avshalom. If you recall, Avshalom had established for himself some kind of memorial because he saw he wouldn't have any children left. So right next to that memorial is the burial of Uzziah somewhere in Jerusalem. We move forward. We're up to the year 3129. Amatziah passes away. His son Uzziah has been king 15 years. He's going to be king for another 37. And that's in the year 3129. Yeah.
Isn't the original grave of Avshalom we see at the foot of Har Habayit in Eastern Jerusalem?
I don't know exactly where they say it is, but that was
the monument there, right?
I don't know. Yad Avshalom. I don't know. I don't remember ever seeing it, but that's what he records. It's just outside ancient Jerusalem, not our Jerusalem today, yes. That matches. I mean, that matches what he's saying. I don't know. I didn't know they know where it is today. I don't know. We move forward to the year 3140. Our prophet is Yeshayahu ben Amoz. He is the nephew of the king. He receives his tradition from Amoz. Chazal say he began his prophecy on the day that Uzziah went into the Holy of Holies. That when we read what they call Yeshayahu chapter 6, Vayishma Harai Kol Rash Gadol, he heard a great noise. That was the great earthquake or volcanic activity that happened when Uzziah went into the Holy of Holies. And that's when Hashem tells him, "Et mi eshlach v'mi elech lanu? Who will I send? Who will go on our behalf?" And that's when Yeshaya begins his mission. So even though it's printed in what they call the sixth chapter of Yeshaya, it was actually the opening prophecy of Yeshaya. And again, he received his tradition from Amos. Yes?
Why does Yeshaya start with rebuking Israel then?
I don't remember. The opening paragraph of Yeshaya is one of the harshest rebukes.
The donkey knows its owner.
Right. I don't remember. The commentaries must discuss it, but I don't remember. You're saying there's a reason why it opens with that. I don't know. Got to look it up. He's going to live another 90 years because his grandson, Menashe, will ultimately kill him, right? Yeshaya will give his daughter to the king, the Judean king Chizkiyahu, his second cousin, to marry his daughter, right? And then from that marriage will come Menashe, who will ultimately take the throne and will ultimately murder his grandfather, Yeshaya the Navi. He writes over here that Yeshaya is buried in a place called Kfar Bar'am.
I've been there.
Oh.
It's very, it was cool that you said that, because I met someone who said it wouldn't make sense that he'd be buried up there.
I have no idea. Okay.
Was he the king of Judah?
Yeshaya was not king. He was from the tribe of Judea and from the Davidic dynasty, but he was not king. He was just prophet.
Wasn't the Jewish king Ahaziah the one how would he have crossed the border?
I don't know where Kfar Bar'am is. What do you mean?
Cross? It's near Meron.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't that...
I don't know why they buried him, where they buried him. I have no idea. So at this time, we have Babylonian kings already. We have a king called Pul-Biliyahu, and he's going to be king 20 years. He is the king who's known as Pul, the Assyrian king. He conquered the king of Israel, Menachem. And until the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kings are called the king of the Assyrian Empire. Because until the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the capital was in Nineveh. That was the capital of the Babylonian Empire. When Nebuchadnezzar will come to the throne, he will shift the capital, and that's why the kings will cease to be called the Assyrian kings. This is a little different than what we had discussed in the past. In the past, we had discussed that in Seder Olam Rabba, it says that in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he took over the Assyrian Empire, which we always understood to mean that there was the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, and the Babylonian Empire overtook the Assyrian Empire. What he's writing here sounds a little bit easier to swallow, because Nebuchadnezzar was a soldier in the Assyrian army, and the Assyrian Empire was very, very powerful. And how could it be that in the second year of his reign, he takes over, his army takes over the Assyrian Empire? So, without knowing many more details, I'm saying what he's saying sounds a little different than the way we understood it until now. That he's saying that it was more an evolvement of the Assyrian Empire into the Babylonian Empire, where the name shifted from the Assyrian Empire to the Babylonian Empire because they shifted the capital from Nineveh, the capital of Ashur. In Nebuchadnezzar's time, they shifted the capital. That would also support what we know, that after the Assyrian Empire had the plague in Jerusalem in the days of Chizkiyahu, so then the Assyrian king, his sons, assassinated him. When he promised the god, he went to worship the god, and he promised his idol that he would sacrifice his sons. So then says that his two sons heard that, and they said, "No, you don't," and they killed him first, before he would sacrifice them. So now we're up to the year 3142.